everyone. My name is Caleb Walgren, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 11 of Brody Sports Talk. And I am joined by a marvelous human being on the other screen. No, it is not one of the Avengers, but it is someone who is out to get revenge on the AFC West. It is Captain Orange, Derek Rusnick. Derek, how are you doing today?
Avengers Assemble. Let's go, everybody. We are in the Brody Bites, and I cannot wait. We've got a bunch of really cool topics, and I hope everyone out there in podcast land is having a great day. Go ahead and hold up your left hand and then smack it with your right hand, as that's me giving you a high five.
Oh, yeah. So I hopefully did not sound too much like the Kool-Aid man there, but it is appropriate because we are getting close to the end of the summer. So let's go ahead and start things off by one of the things that was a very interesting story over the last few days, and that is career defensive line coach and recent assistant head coach with the Tennessee Titans, Terrell Williams, was given the opportunity by Mike Vrabel to coach the Titans in their preseason game against the Chicago Bears. You know, he's I don't want to say he's an older coach, Derek, because he's about 49 years old, so he's going to be hitting his 50 soon. And you know how it is with some of these people who've been coaching for a long time. If they haven't gotten their shot as a coordinator or as a coach yet, you don't know when or if it's going to come. I do love that Mike Vrabel kind of went out there, and this could be something that kind of starts a trend where you see coaches giving opportunities to the other coaches on the team, rewarding them for their hard work by saying, hey, why don't you go ahead and coach the team today and let's see how you do. Derek, what do you think about this, and are you excited about it?
Okay, I have two thoughts for this. This is great and wonderful from a fan perspective. It's kind of like a Bull Durham type of, like, you have that guy that has been constantly in the minor leagues and then gets called up to the show, plays in the majors, and, you know, hits a home run at his first at bat. You're like, yes, this is great. I can't believe I finally did it. This is wonderful. And I fully agree that that is a great thing. My thought number two is, this is the worst thing that Mike Vrabel could possibly do, because if he has a good showing and the Titans want to move on from him in the middle of the season, it makes management's job much easier. Oh, we have a coach with experience with this team right there on the sidelines. Boom, let's fire Mike Vrabel and bring in this guy who can probably get us a couple of wins, or at least not make a complete fool of ourselves. So I am diametrically opposed to this particular thing, as it's great for Mr. Williams and horrible for Mike Vrabel on the same breath.
I do think that's really interesting, because I know that in general, you never know what's going to happen. In theory, you could just hire someone who's not remotely a coach on the team to be your interim head coach. It happened just a little bit north of Nashville last year when Jeff Saturday came in. So, I mean, anything can happen. I am intrigued because I think in general it's just a great move to give him the opportunity. I think Vrabel has been in a fairly safe spot. There is a new GM because they fired theirs in the middle of last year. And if you're not going to fire the GM and the head coach at the same time, you're probably not going to turn around and fire the head coach right after you paired a GM with him. So I think he's got a little bit of wiggle room here, but I do understand where you're coming from. Sometimes as a coach, you got to be watching out for yourself. But I do think in general, especially if you're a coach who's been around for a little bit, being able to give some of these coaches who've been doing it for a long time the opportunity to be a head coach is a really great thing. So I'm more on the pro side than the con side, but happy for Terrell Williams to get that opportunity in what was otherwise not really a thrilling 20-17 win for the Bears in the preseason.
Agreed, 100%. Good on Coach Williams. Let's get after it.
Maybe that's the other part of this, Derek. You let them coach a game in Chicago. You don't coach when the owners and everyone are there. Nope, I've got this home game, but you let them coach a game, a preseason game on the road where less people are going to know.
That's probably true. No one watches Bears games, and there's a reason for that because the Packers are better.
Facts. Complete facts all around. Just dripping with knowledge there, Captain Orange. Bringing the juice, you could call it. So that's probably one of the worst analogies I've ever used. Anyway, let's go ahead and switch it up because there was a restructure that was done recently for a holdout of the Dallas Cowboys named Zach Martin. He is now getting some nice guaranteed money for the next 2 years as a part of this restructure, where it's making him get more like $18 million a year for each of those years. That is nice. That is what he is needing. At the end of those 2 years, Derek, he will be past his age 34 season, and he will be turning 35. So it's one of those things where he's not getting younger. He needs to get paid. And we love those big offensive linemen. We love those guys that go out there and get those blocks in the run game. Zach Martin has been a consistent all-pro and pro bowler, and it's not just because he is on the Dallas Cowboys. Thank goodness. So I'm really happy to see him get this. What are your thoughts? I know that you love the big fellas on the O-line.
Okay, give me the O-lineman, D-lineman every single day. Now, what this is saying is the complete truth. This contract is saying to the entire world the truth about the Dallas Cowboys. Zach Martin is their best offensive player. And when you pay your best offensive player what they deserve. Caleb, you could not have said it better just a moment ago when you said this guy is above the age of 30. He will be turning 35 in that voidable year at the end, and he needs to get paid. Yes, he had a contract, made him the highest paid guard at the time, but he sees the tea leaves this year. He knows that this team is probably going to struggle on offense. Kellen Moore isn't there anymore. Maybe all of a sudden the offense changes and they're the bomb diggity, all that in a bag of chips. But probably what's going to happen is Tony Pollard is going to get a lot of snaps, and they're going to have to run the ball to control things. That means that they're going to have to run behind Zach Martin, and that means that he needs to get paid. I'm a legal guy. I like contracts and stuff like that. I've studied contract law. And I'm usually like, you signed a contract, wait until your contract's over to ask for more money or restructure or blah, blah, blah. In this case, you know, just give the big guys, more money because, you know, we've seen the contracts that have come out for Justin Herbert, and we've seen Dak's contract, and Burrow's going to come up soon. Jalen Hurts is out. So the QB, of course, is a very important position, but Zach Martin is that important to the Dallas Cowboys, and good on him for getting paid. And the next round of the Big Texan is on Zach Martin's tab.
I've got to throw this out there because it just bothers me a little bit, Derek. We talked earlier this offseason about how Trevon Diggs got an extension. I know Diggs is younger. I know that he's got his rookie deal coming up sometime soon. How do you not get Zach Martin his extension first? Like, if you were going to sit here and say who's more important to the Cowboys, it is Zach Martin time and time again. I double checked. He's been in the league for 6 years, 6-time All-Pro first team.
Yeah.
Like, that is gross. And gross by being awesome, just to be clear. So I'm happy that it got done. Let's face it, to say I'm disappointed about how the Dallas Cowboys do their business is not really an understatement. That's something that's very frequently happens. And it's just another example of why didn't you take care of Zach Martin before you took care of Trevon Diggs? Next question.
It's a really good point. I really think that the Cowboys have been known for a few years now as a running team, and that's kind of where their bread and butter is. The bread gets buttered. I think that's the colloquialism. And I mean, this guy is absolutely amazing. He's not just some guard. He's not just a really good guard. He's one of the best guards, if not the best guard in the league, and has been for a while now. So he's shown you that he deserves money, and I'm glad that he's gotten it.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and let's switch gears. We're talking about the running game, but let's talk about a former Cowboy that just landed on his feet and a former Viking that landed on their feet in the AFC East. It's cold up there. They know that they want to be able to play hard-nosed football and run the ball. And that is why Ezekiel Elliott was able to get a 1-year, $6 million contract with the New England Patriots. And then Dalvin Cook got a 1-year deal with the New York Football Jets, 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 Jets. And other good news for Jets fans, Breece Hall got activated off the PUP list today. So I know that in general, you get Dalvin Cook, you get Breece Hall back. All of a sudden, that running back room went from really good to exceptional. Derek, let's talk about Zeke first. Obviously, it's a bit of a interesting one. What do you think of Zeke going to the Patriots? What kind of role do you envision him having there?
Okay, I love Zeke going to the Patriots for Zeke's sake. He is going to get into a system. He is going to get into the Patriot way, and he is going to. I think he's going to have a great season this year. Just the name being there behind Mac Jones is going to give Jones a little bit of extra time. Because you never, of course, we've all seen Zeke lose a quarter of a step over the last few years. He's not the guy that he was when he first got into the league, but he's still a really good back. And so him going to the Patriots is going to give some versatility, some options for that offensive play calling. Now that they actually have an OC, let's hope they get back to understanding how to win football games like they used to. You now have the ability to, we're going to play our defense, which Bill Belichick has always been good at. We're going to have Mac Jones do Mac Jones things and run the ball. I mean, you have someone who knows how to get the hard yards, who's been there, who has some mileage on the tires. And so I like Zeke going to the Patriots because I think it makes him a better player for the future. He's probably never going to get that big payday like you would want because of his age and his mileage. But I think anyone going to the Patriots and buying in is good for them. Maybe extend Zeke out a couple of more years in the league.
I do think it's interesting. I'm looking, it looks like they're giving him the number 15. So it'll be interesting seeing Zeke wear something that is not his 21 that he's worn for such a long time there in Dallas. I really think in general, this gives them just a really strong 1-2 combo. Cause I have a lot of respect for Ramondre Stevenson. And I think that Stevenson still is probably the primary workhorse back in this offense. But I also look at the rest of that running back room and go, Ty Montgomery, Pierre Strong, Kevin Harris, like it's not remotely interesting. And if Ramondre went down, they were going to have to sign someone immediately.
Yeah.
Go get Zeke. Let him learn the offense. He already got to miss most of training camp. Like, a great situation for the 28-year-old back who I feel like he feels a lot older than 28, but
I agree.
He is only 28 years old. And, you know, $6 million is not a bad contract for 1 year. So I'm happy for him to go get his payday. And I'm interested in how that will all turn out. Now, staying in the division, of course, Dalvin Cook did get signed by the New York Football Jets, a much more crowded running back room with Breece Hall, Michael Carter, Zonovan Knight, Israel Aminaconda. I brought him up a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Hall of Fame game. Izzy, he played well in that game too. But what do you think as far as Dalvin Cook going to the Jets?
Okay, so I want to pair this with the first news that you said with the Jets as well. So Breece Hall comes off the PUP list. They sign Dalvin Cook to the Jets team. This is amazing for the Jets because last year one of the biggest issues that the Jets faced is they did not have that same running game when Breece Hall went down. Now, Breece Hall is a great young running back, and he's going to hopefully have another 4 or 5 years in the league where he's up there for rushing titles and, you know, like great seasons. This is even better for A-Rod going to up to the Jets. He's going to have a running game probably no matter what. They have weapons. They have defense. They have a defensive-minded coach. I'm not saying the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl, but this move here really helps have no drop-off in the event of an injury that happens on the team. You're going to have, you know, you're almost assured of a good running game this year, or someone who can run the ball effectively. So having Rodgers there, having a good run game, having young, talented receivers, old, talented receivers, and then that defense, you're looking really good with the Jets, and the other teams are looking up to the Jets like, they might be a threat. You know, the Bills are probably going to be the king of the division still. And the Patriots are always going to hang around, and don't ever count up the Dolphins. But this could actually be the NFC West a couple of years back when they put three teams in the playoffs. The AFC West did that a couple of years ago as well. So we could easily see three teams in the playoffs, and it's really going to open up a who's left out kind of a scenario of like, are they going to beat each other up?
Yeah, it's kind of, does someone get beaten up on, or are they all somewhere in that like 7-10, 9-8 range where any one game could really make the difference? My thoughts about this, Derek, are really kind of, someone needs to set down like the Xbox controller for the New York Jets. Like, I feel like someone has been playing Madden with that front office. Like, they got Rodgers, they've got Dalvin Cook, they've got Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman. We talked about this. Like, they've brought in so many different people this offseason that it just seems like they're like, if you're going to go for it, you go all in. And I feel like that's what the Jets are attempting to do with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. I'm intrigued. I think that it could backfire, but it also could succeed. Anything can happen. I do know that in general, that first Monday night game of the year, when we have Cook versus Cook and we get the Bills Jets, it is even just a little bit spicier knowing that, yeah, we're going to have Cooks in both backfields, and let's face it, it's the less interesting part of the backfield when we have Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers as the other ones.
Yeah.
So I'm loving it. Plus the fact that Cook was considering Miami in all of this, you know, speaking of AFC East teams, they didn't get any of these guys. So I don't know if they're going to potentially look at Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette or what other options are out there. Cause there's still good backs that are not on teams right now, which feels odd.
I agree with you. It does. I went out and looked at like some of the, oh, the Dolphins can go get this guy and this guy. And this, and I'm like, you know, back a couple of years, I mean, even just 3 years ago, I would say there would have been like, you wouldn't have had those bigger names out there. You know, like Kareem Hunt, I'll use him as an example. It's just a little, it's weird to me that the running back position is so different than it used to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Derek. Well, let's go ahead. Let's switch it up and let's go from the football field over to the pitch. And then we're going down under as we are heading to the Women's World Cup that is hosted by Australia and New Zealand, as it has been just a complete chaotic mess, as I've loved all of the games that I've been keeping an eye on. We're down to the final three, and that's because early on the morning we're recording this, they had the match between Spain and Sweden. Spain got a goal in the 81st. Sweden responded with a nice goal in the 88th minute. And then Spain followed it up 1 minute later with the winner. So three goals in the final 10 minutes for a 2-1 win for Spain to knock out Sweden and go to the final. The other match that's going to be taking place or may have already taken place, depending on how early you are up and listening to this, it's at 5 a.m. Central Time. So I'm going to release this before that, but hopefully you are sleeping. If you are like me, I recommend sleep, but it's between Australia and England. So if you slept through it, catch the highlights, but this is going to take place in Sydney, Australia. If Australia can get the win, they will play Spain in Sydney, Australia for the Women's World Cup. I kind of love the fact that we have this underdog Matildas team that has just fought through adversity. They had an intense match in their quarterfinal match against France where they went 10 players deep into penalty kicks, Derek, and won 7-6 on penalty kicks in that match. It's crazy. There's been so many good games and so much excitement. And I've just got to say that this is why these international events like the World Cup or the Women's World Cup are just such good television and such good sports. The women's game is getting better and better every year. Derek, any thoughts you want to add either about Australia, England, or Spain being in the final? I know last week we kind of talked about how the U.S. was out, so I want to leave them to the side of all of this. But where are you at as far as the current teams?
Yeah, I'm going to root for Australia all the way through to the final to win the whole thing. I think Spain may be more talented, but you cannot tell me how wonderful it would be for the home country to win the whole thing. That would just be great. I'm going to take Australia. I'm rooting for them to get through to the final, and then a hard-fought game in the final for the championship.
I will say that the final will be on 5 a.m. on Sunday morning. So if you're someone who likes coffee, you could try to catch it at 5, or you could wake up at 6 and watch the second half. So
Yeah.
It's going to be a game worth watching. The Men's World Cup final was amazing. I wish this wasn't all the way in Australia and I could get it at least a little bit later in the day, but I'll take what I can. So
yeah,
I expect to at least try to catch some of that match, even if I have to fight to keep both eyes open for it.
I'll agree on that one.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're more of a morning person than I am, Derek. So that's saying really a lot.
Yeah, I could probably get up at that 5 a.m., but I don't think I want to. So
fair. So let's go ahead and let's go back to the football field, or at least the classroom, because classes are resuming. And there's been reports that there are teams that are blocking Cal and Stanford being able to go to the ACC. Of course, the Atlantic Coast Conference, which they don't fit in geographically, but no one cares anymore. Derek, what do you think about this? How fast do you expect Cal and Stanford to kind of make a move on this?
Why can't we call it the All Coast Conference? You have to be on a coast. So All Coast, just move them to the ACC. No, so Cal and Stanford are too big of schools, too big of names to just be kind of out there waving in the wind after this season. Like, everyone else is going to go away. Big Ten, you got four teams going to the Big Ten. You've got four teams going to the Big 12. So something needs to happen soon. As, you know, for the most part, you've got to have Stanford in there someplace. I mean, they're such a good academic school. They've put out such great NFL players. I mean, they play great football generally. You know, they've been down for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I think that something needs to happen. Someone needs to get off their high horse. Let's put it that way. Someone needs to just figure out what how to do this thing. Either you're going to have a Pac-12 with the four remaining teams that are out there, and you go poach the Mountain West or Sun Belt or somebody, I don't know, and you make your conference big, or frankly, let's basically dissolve the Pac-12 and let these teams go to the ACC, and we'll just call the ACC something different.
I'm just kind of curious what other conferences are looking at them. Obviously, we know that the Mountain West is out there. They're probably looking at them. I feel like when we've talked about things like this before, typically the American is a conference that's usually happy to scoop some teams up. And we know that there's already a little bit of rumblings because SMU was one of the teams that was being rumored potentially to the ACC as all of this as well. They said the teams that were voting no to block, at least the rumors are, Florida State, Clemson, which I get those. Those are the two powerhouse teams. Yeah. And they want to go make more money elsewhere, I believe. The other two no's were North Carolina and NC State. And I'm like, I don't necessarily understand this unless this is some sort of hatred of academic schools and they don't want schools like Duke inside of their conference, because they already have Duke that they have to deal with on a regular basis. And they don't want Cal and Stanford also there with their high academics to mess with it. I'll admit that Cal and Stanford would have to travel a lot. I would almost think that they would have to do some sort of remote plan where they had like a East Coast base so they didn't have to travel all of the time. But then it's a, you are student athletes. How does all of this really work? Whereas if they ended up in something like the American, they're still not super close to some of these teams, but we can see them play against the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, UTSA, SMU. Like, they at least have some, like, it's no worse than like what the Big Ten and Big 12 are doing. Like, you're a lot closer to those schools than you are to most of the ACC schools. That Cal to Boston College flight is not an exciting flight for a game. That is for sure.
Can we play football via Zoom? Because, you know, everyone else is working from home. Why can't these California schools play on the East Coast? Now, I'll give you a little personal story. Since our last episode, I went on a little bit of vacation, and I went from the Central Time Zone, where I live, to the Mountain Time Zone. And so it's only an hour difference. Boy, did it mess me up for a whole 5 days. I did that hour difference was significant. And so if you have two California schools going four time zones over to play Boston College, as you say, the Florida States, I don't know how your body does that with a you know, with one, physically, because you're playing football, and two, your brain just, I don't know if you can do that with I mean, are you going to have like private flights, and you're going to have tutors on the, you know, like teachers on the flights with these football, so they can have class in the sky because they're flying so much? I just don't know how that works. I mean, it's great in theory. I just don't know how you do it in practice.
Amongst all of this, one story that we haven't really talked about much, and I'm just going to mention this because I think it's a lighthearted way to end this, because I do hope Cal and Stanford find a spot. I hope Oregon State and Washington State find a spot. I don't know if they merge with the Mountain West or what really is going to happen, but I don't want them to all have to go independent and figure it all out randomly next year. Derek, so with the expanded footprint for the Big Ten next year, there was at least a rumor or a discussion that they were considering hosting a Big Ten championship game in Las Vegas. Did you see that news? I know you were on vacation, so I don't know if you saw everything while you were out there.
No, I didn't. I didn't see that they could have, they could have it in Vegas. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's a, like, for me watching it on TV, that'd be great, because that's a pretty good venue for people to watch it. You know, Vegas is kind of different. It's not the standard that you think of for the Big Ten. I mean, I know Indianapolis is usually the what you think about when you have that. But, you know, what if we go up to, is it still Ford Field in Detroit?
Currently, yes.
Okay. You know, why don't we go up there? Or, Vegas. I mean, the Big Ten, the SEC rule everything. It's NFL light now. So, you know, do whatever they want to do.
I mean, you could also say U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minnesota. That's a pretty brand new stadium that would be nice to use. Typically, it is in Indy. But the thing that I saw someone say was, we cannot let Iowa football go to Vegas. And considering all the things that Iowa football players and Iowa State football players are getting investigated for underage gambling and betting on sports and on games that they played in, yeah, that definitely is a good call. Do not let the Iowa Hawkeyes go to Vegas. Whatever happens with the Big Ten, as far as how they split up all of the conference sides or whatever, let's just make sure Iowa doesn't go there. They can lose all their games for all I care.
I'm behind you on that one. I don't know what Iowa, certainly. I mean, we don't have to worry about Iowa going to Vegas because they're never going to win the Big or get to the Big Ten championship game. But same time, you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly. So that is all I have here for this Brody Bites episode. I hope that you have enjoyed it. You've laughed a little bit and just had a good time here with myself and Derek. If you enjoy our podcast, please go ahead and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. I know most of our listens come from Apple Podcasts. So if you go over there, drop 5 stars, write out a review, we'd be happy to read it on the podcast and give you a shout out, because we love to give back to our fans. If you are incredibly possessed and love the fact that football season is right around the corner, you will want to be sure you subscribe so you do not miss a single episode of Brody Sports Talk. And as always, you can follow us on X at Brody Talk. I'm still not used to saying that. I don't know if I'll ever get used to saying that, Derek. But on behalf of Derek, my name is Caleb Walgren. We appreciate you taking your time to listen, and we are signing off. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.